Vernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
metalmayhemroc.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
A proud member of the Pantheon podcast team.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno, and direct from New Jersey, Metal Walt.
Good evening, everybody. As always, Thursday night's new content drops. As we're into spring full bore, we're in May. Tonight, we got a fresh new episode for you as Metal Walt and I welcome Donnie Von Stavern from Riot 5 onto the show. This week, the new album Mean Streets drops, and Metal Walt had a chance to catch up with him, talk about the band, the album, the videos, everything in the world of Riot 5. So, Metal Walt, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Verno. So, yeah, Riot 5, John, you know, we have a long history with a bunch of the guys in Riot 5. However, Riot 5 really is the version of the band that's carrying that torch forward on the legacy of what Mark Reale created 30, 40 years ago out of the streets of New York City. You know, you have Donnie Von Stavern as well as Mike Flintz. They're kind of the two, let's say, guys that are carrying the legacy of this band forward. And you know what? One can say that, yeah, there's been a lot of albums under this Riot 5 name that have come out over the last 10, 15, 20 years. But this one stands out to me. And when I had a listen on the album, this one has a different feel to it. It feels like it has that essence and carrying the roots of the history of the band, yet it feels like the current lineup, including vocalist Todd Michael Hall, they really kind of hit their high point as the current lineup of this band so far.
What album number is this in this new era of Riot 5 since the passing of Mark Reale?
Well, it's actually the third album with Todd Michael Hall on vocals. I mean, they released Unleashed the Fire and Armor of Light, you know, within the last few years or so. So this is the third one. But and I've heard this from some other people, too, that have listened to the new album, Mean Streets, that this one is it stands on its own. There's a lot of diversity on the album. You definitely feel the essence of that old Riot on there. Yet it does have some of that, you know, very fast double drum, you know, power metal band songs that, you know, these guys put together when they came out with that Thundersteel lineup in the late 80s, early 90s. So, you know, this one, you know, they're a mature band now. They got a solid lineup. The same five guys have been in there for a few albums and tours now. And I think they're kind of finding their footing as they're going. This is a really good one.
Yeah, and you know, this winter and spring, we've been celebrating Riot. We've had Damian Collati on the show. He was promoting the Immortal Soul Riot YouTube series. This album's coming out, and in about a week or two, we have a special feature where Metal Walt actually, you know, went over to Rick Ventura, the original guitarist from the band, well, the original Heyday Restless Breed Fire Down Under guitarist, and had lunch and beers with them down in the Metal Lab. So that's coming up in just a week. So it's a big celebration of Riot. Great band, great history, and the new one, Riot 5. This is today's Thursday, and it comes out tomorrow. Just want to remind you, get up to the website, metalmayhemroc.com. Check out some past episodes. If you like what we're doing and you're listening to us, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, subscribe to the pod, leave a review, and interact with us. Tell us how we're doing or how we're not doing. Either way, you know, send us a note. All right, let's do it. Metal Walt and Donnie Von Stavern, Riot 5. For my co-host, Metal Walt, I'm the Vernomatic, and this is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Good evening, everyone. On this episode, I'm joined by Donnie Von Stavern, bassist and songwriter of the American hard rock band Riot 5. Donnie is the longest-standing member of the Legacy Riot, going back to 1990, but he's here to promote the brand new Riot 5 album, Mean Streets, and their plans for 2024 in the tour. Donnie, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to meet you, man. I'm a big Riot fan. I go way back, Jersey, New York roots, of course, and being 53, I missed a boat a little bit on the beginning stages, but I was able to catch the various versions of Riot through the years when they were maybe in their leaner years playing the clubs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Was able to be at that B.B. King show in 2000. And,
wow.
I guess it was 12, maybe, you're like right around the time Mark passed. But,
Wow.
You know, you and Mike are, let's be honest, you guys are the heart and soul of the band. You carried the torch forward, but just real quick, talk a little bit about your back history and your legacy with Mark Reale.
Man, I have a long one. Actually, I knew Mark 10 years before I even joined the band. Obviously, I was a fan. I had Rock City and Narita, and a friend of mine was their street team guy for Fire Down Under. So I met Mark, and I went up there and I lived with him in the basement with his family on Schenectady and Flatbush, right in fucking Brooklyn. You know, and he would live with me. He loved Texas. He didn't like the cold weather like you guys have up there. So he would come down, and so I was there with him when we were listening to a cassette tape of Rhett Forrest. He says, "I'm thinking about getting this guy," and I'm like, "Woo, that's totally different than Guy Speranza." And he was like, "I know, but Mark always liked Paul Rodgers and Free and stuff like that." So basically, I was there. So I was having a lot of history with the band before I joined. I actually joined in 84, the end of the Born in America. They all went, you know, it was like this whole hiatus thing. And Mark did that solo record with me. Well, we never released it, but it was Narita, me and Dave McLean from Machine Head and stuff. We made all these demos and stuff. So basically we did that on his off time. And then the latter part, like 85-ish, Sandy Slavin called him, said, "We're going to get the band back together." So Kip didn't want to, and Mark called me up, so I moved out to they were based in LA at the time with Sandy, and we stayed with Sandy Slavin, but they were a New York band, so we went out there and I got to play at least with the original lineup. Well, not with Guy, but with at least Rhett Forrester and Sandy Slavin and Mark and stuff. So we played those shows and we tried to we recorded some demos. That's why there's some Thunderstill songs with Rhett Forrester singing. Side of the Crimson Storm has Rhett. We had another one we wrote, and some of the stuff carried over to, you know, I wrote, helped Mark write and Born in America, like Running from the Law and Gunfighter, Wings of Fire. We recorded it with me, Dave, and Mark. So anyway, my roots go all the way back there. My physical album wasn't until 1988, Thundersteel, when we decided to change way gears, not just the vocalists, but, you know, we decided to get heavier because at the time, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden were the big ones. So Mark goes, "We got to write a Fire Down Under on steroids." So we carried over some of the stuff from the early Riot stuff like that, and the solo record, Thundersteel, Fighter Fall, Side of the Crimson Storm. So anyway, Rhett did not continue and Sandy did not. So we moved back to New York, where Steve Loeb was the original producer, took over, and we got the amazing Bobby Jerzombek, who's with Halford, Sebastian Bach, Fate's Warning, and now he's playing drums for George Strait, the biggest guy in country. Yeah, it's awesome. Then we got the phenomenal Tony Moore vocals, so that started the next era, and we did the Thundersteel. So I go back to those, and I stepped out of the picture in like 90-91-ish because it's a discrepancy I'm sure you've seen in the documentaries and you know, people about management and money and stuff. It just got to a point where, you know, I was fed up with a lot of the stuff and I couldn't get it in Mark's head. Dude, you know, you're the guy that wrote Swords of Tequila. Why are you living in your mom's basement? So, you know, it was a big deal. And so I left for a while. I said, I'm not going to let it happen. Then Tony Moore soon followed. And they kept on with the Mike DeMeo era, and they went more in a rainbowy, Yngwie kind of direction, which was different than the power metal. So through that, you know, that was another, you know, deal. That was the fourth chapter. And then so Mark and Bobby would tell me when they're on the road with their bands, people are always asking, when's Thundersteel going to come back? Redo that. So in 2008, I got the phone call. Bobby and Mark said, dude, people want Thundersteel. So we got Tony back and we made Immortal Soul. And we played some shows and we continued on. Thunder still was alive again. And then unfortunately, when we were out playing, you know, our leader and my best friend, Mark Rielli, passed away from the Crohn's thing. So that was very sad. And we were stuck with, what do we do? You know, you can't continue without Mark. And, you know, but we were a big family and we knew Tony, his dad. And he basically told us, don't bury the music with my son. People, that keeps him alive. And, you know, and Mike was taking care of him. He's like in his 90s now. So, you know, we gave it a rest. We thought about how to do it the right way. Don't cash in. Don't, you weren't that. So I was going to do where I was an original member from Thunder Still Four, you know, so make it right. And, you know, even, you know, some markets we put the five, you know, some markets we don't, but it's basically the fifth chapter and the fifth singer. So that's why we do it. But they know it's still Riot carrying the torch. So now we're moving forward. And here we are with the fifth chapter. And we got our 17th record coming up. So that's my long beginning to now.
Well, listen, I appreciate the background and the story. But, you know, your current lineup, I mean, give or take, there's been a couple members in and out. But, you know, you've been together about 10 years now. And your vocalist, Todd Michael Hall, he's amazing. This is his third album. He had Unleash the Fire, of course, and Armor of Light. But, you know, he's got an amazing, he's got the charisma as a front man, but he also has, like, interesting chops because, man, he's got a range and a half, man. Sometimes I'm like, man, it's like Geddy Lee, Rick Emmett, Roger Hodgson. Like, he's up there, man. So yeah, how has his contributions been to the band?
He is, well, when I first found him, when we, you know, that was another thing after, you know, the Thundersteel lineup got back together. After Mark's passing, we continued on. Bobby was too busy doing a million bands. Tony Moore didn't want to continue anymore. So I'm going, okay, well, if I move forward, I have demos already recorded. I said, I need a vocal. And I said, I was channeling kind of a higher guy like Tony and Guy Speranza. I said, I got to find a guy. And a friend of mine, it's weird, I found Todd from a German friend all the way back in Michigan area. So he goes, there's this guy, Todd Michael Hall. So I did a little, you know, research on him, and I saw him with Jack Starr, and, you know, he had looked like Hercules, real long hair, and he had shirt off, and he had a thing. I said, that won't hurt with the girl. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a good looking fella. And when I heard his voice, I was like, holy crap. You know, and he sang on the demos. I sent him to the record label because we were wondering if we're going to continue on. If people in the label was, holy crap, that is great. Yes, we want to keep the deal going. We want you guys to go on the road. It was all a tester. So basically what happened was we put Unleash the Fire out and we played things. Let's see if they still like us. And of course, the proof is in the pudding. The band's doing better than ever. And Todd Michael Hall, he's such a great asset to the band. His voice is phenomenal. It's exactly what you said. He has all those, you know, qualities like a Geddy Lee, even Tony Harnell from TNT. He's got that good sound, and he's a real nice guy, and he brings a lot to the table. When I write Riot songs, I write the music and the lyrics, but I will show him melodies, and he'll show me his. And then when he writes the lyrics for Mike's songs, you know, they go back and forth. But he's real open. And, you know, playing with him is crazy because whenever you watch YouTube videos of a live performance from a band, sometimes the singer sounds weird or the it's like when I listen, I go, sounds like we're playing to a CD. You know, Todd's like really on, you know, and he's just, you know, he really is. He's got a great voice and he has added, I think he's a big part of us moving forward. We have a great vocalist. And this will be our third record. We were even joking around about that the other day. He was going, I was doing interviews. He goes, God, I've been in the band a decade.
Yeah.
10 years. And I go, you have? He goes, I can't believe we've been this long. I said, dude, this will be Riot's 17th record, our third record. And we broke a record because this is the first Riot record with the same lineup for three consecutive records.
Well, congratulations on that one.
I know, isn't that crazy? Because we got a million members.
Right.
Metal Mayhem ROC.
Metal metal. I'm metalhead.
Metal Mayhem ROC is the home for metal from the very beginnings.
This is James the Bear from Hellstar. You're listening to Burn-O-Matic.
Dave Overkill from the Cleveland band Destructor. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great.
To longtime headliners.
Hey, this is Red Beach from Whitesnake.
Hey, this is Vinny Appice from Dio, Black Sabbath, and Last in Line.
To music of today.
Hi, this is Olaf Wickstrand from Enforcer.
Hi, this is Braun from Mastodon.
You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC.
With John the Vernomatic Burner.
Plus, we talk with producers and authors to give you behind-the-scenes info.
Hi, this is William Irwin, author of The Meaning of Metallica, Ride the Lyrics.
Greg Renoff, the author of the book Van Halen Rising, and the Ted Templeman book, A Platinum Producer's Life in Music.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Metal Mayhem ROC, a proud member of the Pantheon podcast team, giving you more to listen for. Join our community and always remember to keep it heavy.
I'll tell you, Donnie, Mean Streets, I love it because so many elements of the past, yet it's very current. I mean, number one, you capture the twin guitar sound that Riot is synonymous for perfectly. It's amazing.
Right.
I love the name of the album. I even love the album cover. I mean, you got motorcycles with the seals all over the motorcycles, drinking a little bottle there. It's really, really well done. So I want to get into some of the tracks, but I'm from New Jersey. But quickly, you recorded this album in New Jersey with Bruno Rout, correct?
Well, we did some of it with him, and we did the drums up there. Basically what we do is, like, you know, back in the day, obviously you record in a studio with a 2-inch tape and the whole night. Through technology, you know, we'll do a lot of writing. Like, I have a studio at my house, Mike has a studio, Todd has a studio. So basically what you can do is we have a giant upload thing that Bruno has, and we can do that. But a lot of the time drums, you know, you like to have it where, you know, you go to a real studio. So we went to a real studio for Frankie, and then, like, we'll send stuff up there. But, you know, Bruno might say, hey, Mike, come over to the studio. I need you to do leads, but I need a different kind of format. So we do that. But, you know, I mean, the album Mean Streets, basically, you know, I wrote that and the lyrics, like I said, I wrote it about growing up in New York when I was with Mark, even when I joined. We lived, you know, we lived in the city in the Garment District where Green Street was. And we would go party, you know, we're like older cats. That's why I have a line in there. Two Lamores to get our fix. Go to the cat club, pick up chicks. That's what we did. I'm not lying. You know, and we'd sit there and walk the streets of New York. We'd eat deli, pizza, you know, you live there, you know. So basically when we did that, they go, well, let's call the album that. It's Riot. It's written about the upbringing in 75 when they were doing Block Party and Keggers. They got the deal in 77, and let's do it. So they gave it to the artist, and the artist goes, well, the Mean Streets of New York, I got to make bikers, but we have to put the seal. That's your guy, you know, our friggin' seal. We have the weirdest mascot ever. But, you know, we're not Eddie the Head or Rivet Head like Megadeth. We have a little fuzzy seal. Anyway, so the guy goes, I'll put him on a bike. And we said, okay. And he sent us some proofs. And, you know, and he had just him with a girl on the back. And we said, well, we like to put five because it's always, there's five members. And then in the thing, there's a picture of us on motorcycles. So he said, okay. So that's why you see. Actually, what it is a seal with a sword, a seal with tequila to do the whole swords of tequila, yes. And then breaking through stuff. And then we have our first seal chick, you know, holding under the guy. We're like, we never had a right seal chick. So he made this hot chick with, you know, her boobs hanging out. We're like, okay. So anyway, so basically that's where Mean Streets came from, the early beginnings of Riot. And it all worked into the cover and all that. And so we decided to use that name. We were going to go with Hell to the Warriors, the first song in the album, but we thought that was a little too Manowar, kind of that kind of band. We said Mean Streets is more like Riot. It's rock, metal, that kind of vibe. So that's kind of how we went
and
for
it's,
it.
And on the title track, it's great. I love how there's references to Johnny Law and, you know, your signature line there, Mean Streets, take me back to the place where I became a man. That's awesome. Yep. But going to the top of the album, I mean, like, listen, I this is my honest truth. Like, tracks 1 through 6, amazing stuff all the way through. Hail to the Warriors. I mean, fast and heavy. I love that build with the unplugged guitar. It has the thrash speed drumming, a big triumphant chorus, lots of screaming, Todd going up high, lots of shredding. And then you go into the second track, Feel the Fire, and this is kind of like your catchy, melodic, radio-friendly, you know, song. I actually hear the chord from Grindr and Judas Priest in it.
Never heard of that before.
bah, right, exactly. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the video's great. You got the lights, the fire, the sexy girl in the front. So talk a little bit about those two songs.
Well, you know, when we did decide to do, when we started working on this record, it wasn't a concept, but I was thinking, why don't we do, you know, let's make it a well-rounded Riot record, because Armor Light, the one before it, was very, a lot of the Thunderstills thrash with thrash production, you know, that kind of power metal thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good record, but I said, you know, let's do like, I'll write a couple songs that are like, you know, what I normally write, kind of power metal, but let's write a couple rockers, like from Narita and Rock City and Fire Down Under. So basically, you know, I always want to do the first song on the album, you want to hit him in the face. So basically, that's what I always do in the last three records. So I decided to record a little guitar thing and with some sound effects in the back, and then just boom, then it thrashes in your face. And we like to sing along, you know, where we have the chance, because live when we're playing music, we're like, hell, hell to the warrior. Yep. Shout, shout, you know, you want to do that. So we decided to, you know, use that as the opening song, you know, and we put a lot of, you know, there's some off time in there, and Frank's drums are incredible. Mm-hmm. Todd's vocals, you know, so you just want to go for the whole Riot punch in the face. And then we're going like, all right, now let's go back to the beginning roots a little bit. Let's write a rocker. So I wrote Feel the Fire too. You know, and of course, you know, I grew up with Judas Priest. I always channel Iron Maiden. You know, I've done licks, you know, like them and Priest. And I remember Grinder from back in the day when we were growing up. But I was like, well, they were kind of cool, but it was an A and it was real simple. I said, let's do ours at F sharp and let's do like a little breaking chord. Like it's almost like a Def Leppard, real melodic. And so we did that. And then Bruno got involved. Bruno goes, well, let's do the chorus first. Feel the fire. We were like, that's amazing, Bruno. He came up with that whole thing. And then so that's where it came from. And then, you know, I wrote the lyrics about a man and a woman having a passionate, fire-driven, obsessed relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I just thought it turned out to be a rock song. And at the end, we do that crazy riff with all of us. You know, it's fast. The vocals are great. Todd makes it sound even more, you know, we call them bank rock. It's like kind of AOR rock or, yeah. You know. Anyway, that's a Mark Reale word, bank rock. Let's write a bank rock, you know. So it came out, you know, it kind of came out good. And we hear the Grinder a little bit. We're like, but this is modern. And, you know, that was three decades ago. And this has introduced even new fans to like a new sound. So all my influences I put on this. But the video came out good. So Tom Flynn, who lives in New Jersey, he took us up to Tinton Falls.
Okay.
And there was a giant sound stage where they do movies, and we haven't done a real video in a while. We always do the green screen. So we went up there, and it was like the whole camera track, and he had a fire chief dude doing the fire and the lights. And then he hired she was a Miss Pennsylvania. He said, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna do that, we're gonna have the band with the lights and the fire, and we're gonna have a little hot babe walking around. And we were kind of like, okay, a bunch of old rockers, we got this chick walking around. I thought, what is this, Cherry Pie again? So basically, you know, it's like Warren Cherry Pie, but it's like a bunch of metal guys, we're doing that, but it's kind of a groove song. So it was one of those where we're going like, okay, let's see if the Riot fans, you know, like it, because we're still doing the heavy, but we're doing a couple rockers and stuff. So I think they sound great, you know. I think they came out sounding good.
They did great. I mean, again, you go down the line, Love Beyond the Grave. I mean, I can't get the four chord chorus out of my head. It's just so strong and powerful. I love it. And that was such a signature Riot thing to do, the simple one or two or three, four, you know, word chorus on that. Todd really shines on that one, but big chords, yeah, on that one. You know, and a song like High Noon, that's your lyric video, which you guys are kind of in it in a, you know, let's say a cartoon images or whatever. But I love it. I love the line, if it's a choice of you or me, then you're going down. It's an old Western song. Cowboys, yeah, in the bar in the saloon and the windows coming open and the dust coming down. So,
of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We that one we even thought about. Even Frankie had some ideas. The drummer, he said, man, that'd be good if we did a video where we're all in like ponchos and Clint Eastwood, you know, and stuff like that. We were going to do it. And then the label was like, no, we want to get this one out. So we used the Western footage and all of that. And you know, I channeled that one too. I wrote the lyrics to that one. I was, Mark loved Westerns, Mark Reale, you know, he did Outlaw, Restless Breed, Gunfighter, all these Western stuff. But I was, I wrote the lyrics from, like, you know, old school Riot. I said, I'm going to write Western lyrics. So I wrote these Western lyrics, and then Todd, his vocals on it and the melodies and stuff were just great. And so they said, we're going to start this off. We don't want to throw a curve right off the bat, like release Feel the Fire first, and people are going to be like, what the hell? So they did some normalcy with I Knew, and okay, this is Riot, you know, and then threw that one in there, you know, to try to add. And then Love Beyond the Grave was real good, and that's my favorite. Mike wrote that, but we all edited that. We all chipped in and stuff. Frankie actually wrote a couple lyrics to it. Todd wrote all the main lyrics, but Frankie wrote some lyrics, and I actually wrote the chorus that you were talking about, because when it went back to the chorus, Mike had a real intro like he had, and it was a singing line. I said, dude, let's do the old school, a chant. So I said, let's go back to the head riff. So he did, but down, down, and I go, love from beyond the grave. And he goes, dude, that is so cool. So the final product, with all of us putting our 2 cents in, came out great.
That is, I love that chorus. It's definitely great. Now, a couple of other my favorites. Before this time and Higher. Now, Before This Time, it's very anthematic. It's a power metal track, lots of melody, very catchy track. And I even hear like an approach in the chorus, almost like a little Stripe or Michael Sweet influence there. It's a really heartfelt song. And then Higher, I love the line, I have the power to alter my fate. Great musical opening leading to the fast breakout. Really solid power metal song. And it, again, another song with that classic one-word chorus and some great twin guitar work. Love those two tracks.
Those are, Mikey wrote those two tracks, and he has a similar, you know, we have our different styles, how we write. And that's why when we put them together, it's a little more, you know, of a variety of the sound. It's kind of his era, where I said they write like a guitar player, and that's how they did, you know, in the DeMeo era. They write a lot of guitar driven melodies and stuff. And Todd, when Todd sings, he writes the lyrics for Mike's songs. He wrote Higher in those songs and stuff like that. So Mike writes all these just driven melodic, you know, guitar shredder stuff. And then his choruses are very melodic. And then Todd comes in there, Higher, you know, where he just does the one thing, Higher, you know, and that's what makes a song, you know, where you have not only the aggression, the aggressiveness, but you got to have the melody. Mark was always like about that back in the day. He used to tell me, he goes, you can play a million miles an hour. He was going, but you got to have that hook. You got to have the melody, the chorus, you know, the verse and stuff like that. That's why even in the early days in Thunderstill, when I wrote like Flight of the Warrior, I wrote all this massive stuff going. And he goes, yeah, but you got to do Shining into the Night. You know, and you're like, you got it. You know, you got to have that hook. And that's what Mike does too. Like me, we write aggressively, but you got to have, it's got to be very catchy. You know, it's got to be a song within the song. That's what we say. The guitar solos are a song within the song. The vocals are a song within the song. So at that part, when Mike writes those kind of riffs, Todd sings, it does have that Michael Sweet kind of flavor. You know what I mean? It's got that Striper thing, because when Todd writes lyrics, he writes very positive lyrics. You know, he's always been like that, you know, when he writes and stuff, and Higher and a couple other songs on there. So he's one of those kind of guys. I'll write more like rock and roll kind of thing, rowdy things, and he writes more positive, like real real stuff. But those are great songs too. That's probably my second favorite Mike song, Higher for sure.
That's good, man. Well, I got two more, really. I mean, the whole album's great, like I said, but I got two more favorites I want to cover off on, and then we want to talk about your touring for 2024. But the second to last two tracks, Lost Dreams and Lean Into It. Lost Dreams, again, more twin guitar, vintage Riot sound, the standout vocal in the bridge, Choices Do Have Consequences, Into the Hand of Fate. And then Lean Into It, it feels like, wow, this is like a 1980 song. It's bluesy, it's sexy, it's got a swagger, big melodic chorus. This one stands out in the album. It's just the outlier. You know, it's like the runt of the litter or something like that. But great guitar solo, and love those two tracks.
It's the step kid of the album. But Lost Dreams and stuff like that. Like I said, when Todd writes lyric, you know, he's like that. He comes up with different, you know, powerful stuff, meaning stuff like that, rather than straight, you know, rock stuff like I tend to write. He comes up with these real melodic hooks too, and Mike's song, and Mike's the same way, you know. Michael actually, when he writes his song, when he sends Todd the demo for the vocal, he plays it on the guitar. So, you know, I'm not a great singer like Todd, so I'll hum, here's what I want, but, you know, I'm not a great singer. Michael do the, and then when it's a harmony, you know, he'll do that. So when Todd gets it, they get the whole harmony thing, and then just underneath his real nice guitar light, Todd, like, follows that, you know, and it goes like, God, man, that's such a hook, you know, and he has a way of doing that. And when they do that, it does, it sounds a lot like, to me, it sounds like either Michael Sweet or Tony Harnell, like some early TNT, you know, yes, those kind of songs, rock songs. So, you know, like I said, the style is cool, the way he writes, and it's different than I wrote Lean Into It. And that's another one, like I said, on this record, when I wanted to be a little diverse and go way back, I was channeling Overdrive from Rock City, which was the first record. I said, dude, I just want a drum beat, Zeppelin, you know, got up, you know. Keep it simple, stupid, you know. And then so Todd actually wrote the lyrics to it, you know, and I normally write my lyrics, but he had an idea. And I said, let me write music. And so we got together on it. And I said, wow, this turned out to be one of those bank rock songs. I said, this song could be a hit, you know, if people took a chance on a hard rock band again, because it's got the rock feel. And it's got the, you got to lean into it. That is such a good chorus. I mean, it's got the hook to it. So that one was, you know, Todd and I, we felt the same way. We say it's a little different than the record, but, you know, Riot has put some commercial stuff on their hard records. So we thought that Lean Into It could really do something, but we'll see, you know. It's the Step Brothers way down in there, but we'll see if people dig it.
Now, so you got to go all the way to the bottom of the album, because you never know what you're going to find.
Well, right before you're about to end it, you're going like, okay, that was kind of cool. Oh, my God, what is this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Donnie, it's a great album, 12 tracks. Before we talk about touring, I just wanted to ask you a curiosity question. There was a new Riot documentary series released recently called Immortal Soul, a Riot tribute and concert film by filmmaker Damian Collodi. We had him on our show about a month ago to talk about that that contribution. I think he did an amazing job showcasing not just the past, but a really good job of showcasing Riot 5. Have you seen it and had a part of the documentary?
Well, we've seen it. He came to us, and it was crazy how he started it. He didn't even know who Riot was. He saw us at Keep It True. He was living. He's from here, but he's living in Germany or somewhere.
Yep.
And he came to Keep It True, and he was blown away by us. And he was like talking to us like, "You're incredible." And then he started looking into the past. He said, "I didn't know there was this big old past." You know, for the 70s, said, yeah, oh, yeah, we're just continuing on. And he couldn't believe it. So he was so enamored with it, he decided to ask us if we could do one, because we've had a few done. We had one a couple of years ago, and then we had another, the Metal Voice and Giles Lavery did one a couple of years ago. And then even before that, this guy did another one. It was a short one, though. Martin Popoff, he did like a short one. So people do it. They're enamored by how the band is still moving forward with so much history. So he did it, and he came to us about it. And we were like, okay, well, you know, at first we get a million guys doing it, but then he said, I want to do one. And at first it was going to be like maybe one, two parts. And he says, there's too much history. I'm going to do four parts. So we ended up, you know, we ended up saying, okay, and we all participated in it. You know, I'm in it. Mike's in it. We're trying to, you know, Rick Ventura is in it. We're trying to give him most of the stuff like that. And he touches base on everything, you know, and moving forward. I just told him, I said, the only thing we want is we're moving forward, but now we're not the world's unluckiest band. We're the world's luckiest band, because we're Riot 5, same lineup. We're doing better than any lineup before. And he was like, I got you and stuff. So, yeah, no, we saw it. It's really cool. I mean, it's been on the internet. It's been on a couple websites and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, anybody that's into the band that much and wants to make a documentary of you. I mean, it's you can't say anything, you know, it's just awesome, you know, so that's great.
Well, and it's great because it ties in nicely with you guys releasing a brand new album coming up. It's almost like really good timing. So I welcome you to check out our interview with Damian when you get a chance. Go to metalmayhemroc.com. But okay. Donnie, talk a little bit about touring. I see you got some dates in Europe in May with Tailgunner. Any plans to hit the States? I'd love to see you guys again in the New York.
Yeah, it's a different ballgame now. You know, after the lockdown, you know, it changed things, and it's still kind of the same. Where venues, you know, bands like Riot, you know, we're not Metallica, so we're the mid-level band. So sometimes, you know, the money's not there, or the venue is a little skeptical, or they don't want to give you what you want to give in the state. It's getting better, and we are booking stuff in the United States. We have stuff already booked, but like you said, after April, 2 weeks later, we go to Warsaw, Poland, and we do like a, you know, 2.5 weeks over there, and then we come back, and we're gonna do some more America stuff. We're talking about our agent said the Queensryche Armored Saint thing that's going out. They wanted to see if we do a couple weeks with that, and then he's got a West Coast thing going, Texas, Canada up there, Midwest and stuff, and he's talking about New York. Well, we'll go back up to Woodyers, Dingbats or somewhere,
yes,
Gramercy Theater, all that stuff, you know. So he's booking that, but we got Vakken, Sweden Rock, Rock Hard, all this stuff. July, we're going back to Japan. We're going to throw Australia in there, South America, September. So there's a lot of little things going on, but we will intertwine America if it's not with somebody, which would be the prime situation where we're on a bus and we're touring with Queensryche or we're touring with a bigger band. That makes it easier. When it's just a band like us, it's hard. So sometimes we'll fly to a region. We'll do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fly home a week later, Thursday, Friday, you know, and do that, because then people are like, it's the weekend, people will come, yep, we'll give you what you need. So that's how it works, you know. So hopefully, you know, we'll cover a lot of ground, but yeah, we're going to be busy big time.
Sounds good. Well, I look forward to hopefully seeing you guys some point this year somewhere in the Jersey, yes, tri-state area. So the album comes out on April 12th on Atomic Fire Records. Donnie, tell us about the socials, about you, Riot, anything you want to share with our listeners.
We, we're very excited for the release because the record is very diverse. It's Riot's 17th record. And Riot's 50th anniversary is next year, so we'll see what that holds. 2025, we're talking about re-recording some classics, getting some Riot family members. It's a lot of stuff, you know, because the history continues. But we're real excited for this. We want to come out and play for you. We want you to love the record. We'll be releasing more videos on April 12th, as a matter of fact, is when Mean Streets video comes out, and that's a real one too. We shot that one in New York City, and you'll get a kick out of it because it's got us, you know, in a bar and walking the streets, and we have a little surprise guest. The Seal is in the video. We have a guy in the Seal head with a leather jacket, and he's drinking with us and playing it. You'll love it.
Cool.
Anyway, so we got that coming up. So we're just like, you know, just keep an eye out. You know, are you ready to riot? You know, .com is our official website. And then, of course, go to our websites and social media, the Facebook and YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff with information. And we'll be posting this interview.
Well, Donnie, it's been a pleasure. You're a vibrant, passionate guy. I can see the love you have for your band and the history and Mark. And we'd love to have guys like you on our show. So we'll do anything on our part to help you support this path forward. So appreciate the time, and I hope to meet you in person down the line. And best of luck with this album and tour. And thanks for coming on.
Right on, man. Shine on. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Just a reminder, get up to our website, MetalMayhemROC.com, and join our community by signing up for our email newsletter. This is the best way to stay updated on our new podcast episode, interviews on our YouTube channel, CD and concert reviews, as well as reminders to join us on our live radio show Monday nights on Metal Devastation Radio. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. For my guest, Donnie from Riot 5, I'm Metal Walt, and this is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Metal for life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at MetalMayhemROC.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.